Hi, this is Michelle O'Donohue reporting for XL. Today I'm interviewing Kevin Shaw. Kevin Shaw is a third-year cardiology fellow at UCLA. He has a paper that is currently in print at JACC looking at heart failure with preserved borderline and reduced ejection fraction. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to describe a little bit about the research that you presented today? And congratulations, by the way, about the publication as well.
Thank you so much. The research that we presented today is work that was done in conjunction with the Get With The Guidelines Heart Failure Program. This was specifically an analysis of patients who have been hospitalized with heart failure from a Medicare population, and we looked at five-year outcomes based on LVEF, specifically patients with preserved ejection fraction, borderline ejection fraction, and reduced ejection fraction. And we wanted to see how they do long-term in terms of mortality, as well as readmission to the hospital.
I suppose that the results were a little bit of a surprise. Is that what you were expecting?
The results were a little bit of a surprise to us in that we expected the group to have very different outcomes over 5 years. What we found was that in terms of all-cause mortality, over a five-year period, regardless of initial LVEF estimation, patients had a very poor five-year mortality, and it was similar across the EF spectrum.
Now, is that different than what we've seen with some historical studies that have also looked at outcomes for low versus preserved EF?
Historically, we've seen somewhat mixed data, depending on where your ejection fraction cutoff is. And some studies have suggested that patients with a diagnosis of heart failure with preserved ejection fraction may do better long-term than patients with reduced ejection fraction. But in this patient population, specifically Medicare patients who have been hospitalized for decompensated heart failure, preserved ejection fraction heart failure patients did just as poorly long-term as patients with reduced or borderline ejection fraction.
So I guess that begs the question whether or not there might be any differences in baseline characteristics between the three groups.
That's a good question. What we found was that patients with heart failure with preserved ejection fraction were older, were more often female, and had a higher body mass index and had more comorbidities, including things like atrial fibrillation. Conversely, patients with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction more often had a history of coronary artery disease or coronary artery disease risk factors.
So did you have to do adjusted analyses to compare outcomes between these groups?
What we specifically did was we wanted to compare across the three subgroups. So we did control for kind of the common comorbidities and covariates associated with heart failure long-term risk. And as we mentioned, or at least as I mentioned, we found that even controlling for typical heart failure risk factors across the EF spectrum, the long-term outcomes were very similar.
Now, you've been talking about three distinct groups, and perhaps for some of our listeners, that's a new concept because very often we've traditionally thought about preserved versus low or impaired ejection fraction. So what are your thoughts about this new three-way grouping?
The AHA and the ACC have recommended having this additional borderline ejection fraction group. Similarly, the European Society of Cardiology has recommended having a mid-range ejection fraction group. And I believe the thought process is if we can identify either a novel phenotype or individual risk factors that portend a different diagnosis, maybe treatment should be different. Obviously, the cutoffs for these different subgroups are somewhat arbitrary, and there's probably more to be learned from the different clinical phenotypes across the spectrum, and understanding that LVEF is one measurement of a patient's current status.
Do you think that the reflection of the comparable mortality rates across the different groups of individuals reflects changes or improvements in treatments over time? So do you think rather that the patients with reduced ejection fractions have better outcomes than they might have a few years ago, or do you think that we now have patients with preserved ejection fraction who are maybe doing worse?
Interestingly, we did look at the actual therapies prescribed to these patients, and we found a high degree of patients with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction in terms of being prescribed goal-directed medical therapies. As you can imagine, patients with heart failure with preserved ejection fraction were not as often prescribed these therapies. We don't know for sure if, at least in this cohort, if over a five-year period, how often patients may have navigated between the groups. In other words, there is a lot of interest amongst researchers regarding patients who start with a reduced ejection fraction and recover their LVEF. Conversely, in our analysis, we don't know how many patients started off initially with a preserved ejection fraction and over that five-year period of time may have had an event that led to a reduction in their ejection fraction.
Great. So as I understand as well, you don't have detailed information on causes of death, because I think that one question that listeners might have is whether or not patients with preserved ejection fractions are dying of a different modality that's related to their comorbidities. But you do have information on heart failure deaths, is that right?
We do have information on heart failure hospitalizations over a five-year period of time. And there was slight differences between the three subgroups in that the risk of heart failure readmission was highest in patients with reduced ejection fraction, and it was lowest in patients with preserved ejection fraction. But we do not have cause-specific mortality for these patients.
So that would be something interesting to look at in additional data sets in the future.
I completely agree.
And I believe you also took a look at the mortality rates and compared them to what you might see in the general population. Is that correct?
We did. And this was a separate analysis that we did. The results were striking in that we compared across the three EF subgroups as compared to the median survival by age group of individuals in the U.S., and we found essentially from age 65 and upward, every age group, the median survival for individuals in the U.S. as compared to anyone with a prior diagnosis of heart failure in our study, the median survival was markedly higher for the average American.
Great. So what are you considering next steps as a future avenue of research here?
I think the next steps are, one, as you alluded to, determining the causes of death and how they really differ between these subgroups. And then secondly, trying to identify novel ways beyond left ventricular ejection fraction to characterize these subgroups, and then ideally determine therapies that are effective for these different subgroups, but being cognizant of the fact that heart failure clearly has an extremely high mortality associated with that. And the initial diagnosis and initial hospitalization for heart failure should be recognized as an event with a high risk of long-term hospitalization and long-term mortality associated with it.
Thanks. So I think that that's an important takeaway point here is really just it's striking how high the mortality rates are for this patient population. And in particular, for our patients with reduced ejection fractions, where we do have evidence-based therapies that have been demonstrated to work, hopefully some of those can be implemented and we can see further improvements over time.
Completely agree.
Well, thanks again, Kevin, for joining me today. This is very interesting research.
Thank you so much for your time.